This is Rage, Radio Against Global Ecocide. Today on the show, Henry Basil of the Luxalque community. Music by Remember Me Farrell and Ninth Moon Black. And blues by the Memphis All-Stars. This is Rage, building a community of resistance one podcast at a time. Hello and welcome to Rage, Radio Against Global Ecocide, coming to you from occupied Amiskwisi, Wisconsin. I am your host, Seymour Life, and a special hello to all those showing love and compassion for the land. Henry Basil is a person of the land where he lives. There are very few people like him anymore. Many times I hear that scientists have no baseline or starting point to base their studies when studying the Athabasca River or the land or the animals around the tar sands or even further downstream. But that's not true. The baseline understanding of the land and how it was and how it's changed is in people like Henry Basil and other elders who live on the land, who have lived with this land for thousands of years. Here now is Henry Basil.
My name is Henry Basil, and I'm from Kutsalke, Northwest Territories. Kutsalke means place of spawning fish, and my community is located on east of Yellowknife. It's called the East Arm of Great Slave Lake. It's a tiny community, about 500 people, and the people there are mostly into the economy system is tourism industry and trapping, hunting and fishing, and gathering. And we have chief and band council, and we have a school, a small little tiny school, and one co-op store, and nursing station, and a police station. And right now it's a freeze-up in my community. Just for Christmas, a lot of trappers are out on the land now to trapping until Christmas, and then continue on after the new year. That's the economy of Kutsalke. And then in the spring comes, we back to the community and then start the tourist season. We have a little fishing tourist lodge about a mile up the river, and most of the young people there are employed there. Men and women are employed there mostly for guides and working at the camp. Once that's done, people are back gathering fish again in the fall time to start for the winter again, you know, fishing, netting, and hanging fish for the dogs and for the community. And then the whole cycle goes over and over again. We don't have any industry in my little community, as per se, oil companies, mining companies. We don't have that at all. But we have other industry, like diamond mines or mining companies around our surrounding area of our traditional area. We have the mining companies and oil companies. They consult the First Nations people in my little community. If any progress or permits has to be issued, it has to be finalized through our band system or through our people. And we have a very tight-knitted community. It's not very so much crime, because it hasn't really totally reached us through drugs and alcohol and other major crime things. You know, there's no homicides and that sort of thing per se. There's alcohol involved, because the residential school issue too. A lot of my people had went through that. A terrible ordeal of residential school. And a lot of us are healing. We're going to treatment centers and various other health through sweat lodges, our traditional way of healing, traditional lodges, and a lot of talking. We have group sessions for the people that are in need for it. The door is wide open all the time, 24 hours. And I work in that area of residential school, survivor, helping other survivors. Some of them have never even heard of it. Some are still in the healing process. Some are a little more advanced than others. I help in that area to help fill out forms, make contacts with them, and just being an ear for them, because some of the issues that they went through, that it's hard to handle by just being one person, eh? You have to have help no matter who you are. It resulted in a lot of alcoholism. They had nobody to turn to, and a lot of suicides in that area. We had not only the young and elderly people too, because, you know, it's brought a lot of shame on them and a lot of pain and suffering in that area. So I'm in there to help them as much as I can. And I've been doing this for the last few years, off and on, from my regular being on the land. Every chance I get, people come and talk to me, and I'm willing to give my time in that area to help my people. It satisfies me, and it helps me at the same time. I went through the process right from day one, once it started, you know, and I'm still on that healing journey to remind myself that I don't put myself too high, and I have to be back on the basics of life, right down to the grassroots people, right, in order to help people, you know. And if you don't do that, and you just go out and help people, and you're lost at the same time, you get frustrated and say, yeah, you know, I can't do this. And you're leaving other people hanging up because they thought you were, you know, strong enough to do it. But you have to heal yourself first in order to do these things. Now, as for the tar sands issue, that we had a UFA conference at downstream, I was very fortunate to participate in that area, because I had a phone call from one of my members in my little community, the band member. He works for the band, so he gave me a phone call and say, Henry, would you like to participate in a meeting there, because we were downstream from it. I said, sure. And it's all turned out really well for me. And meeting a lot of people too, you know, from various other countries, Trinidad, England, you know, United States, and also Canada too. You know, the First Nations people in Canada, down east and west. It's been a ball for me, you know, like to actually sit in those meetings. What I do for my band is I'm a messenger. I'm a gathering. I do. Various other things. I gather information and like an ambassador for my community. And then I take those information and I bring it back, and or fax it or whatever it takes to get to my community, and they handle it from there. It's either, I don't know, you know, they handle the chief and council and the elders. They handle all that. So I'm just a messenger, okay? I love what I do. The tar sands are, for me, when I was there at the conference, I saw some videos from other countries, especially England, that really had an effect on me, the way they handled their situations towards oil companies, major companies. It seemed to me, I don't know if the right word is being disrespectful, or the way making their own presentation on behalf of me and you and various other people, the way they do it. And sort of kind of grossed me out. I've never seen that, I never heard that, unless I saw it with my eyes and heard it with my ears. I saw it on video, the way they made the presentation. And it kind of made me back off a bit and say, you know, what is going on here? Because I saw other videos from Trinidad, and the way the presentation was way different. It was more appealing, more information, there was people involved, the way the whole structure was presented. I really enjoyed that, because it was down to earth, and they consulted the people first, their elders, and that made me feel really good. You know, I think that it's the only way to do it, especially First Nations community. You're to be presented in that way, eh? And not only in First Nations in Canada, across Canada. But also, it tells me that there's indigenous people, you know, all over the world. And one of them had to be Trinidad and Tobago. Getting back to the tar sands again, the major one is in tar sands is right in McMurray. I saw some videos of it, presentation. One of the things caught my eye was the pond where the ducks had. Last month or this summer, landed in there and destroyed a lot of ducks. But they said they had a little scarecrow there along the shore. It didn't seem too much, eh? Maybe you saw it too. And it was just one little thing, But I noticed too there was tracks, moose tracks or wolf tracks going into the pond. I didn't see no fencing around it, no guards or whatever. You know, I didn't see that. And I was kind of surprised for a big company like that, you know, to ignore the wishes of the people. And the water is seeping into the ground and then going into the streams and going into down the river, right? All those pollution, all the toxin stuff. It was like I could smell it. And when one of the community members, the First Nations community member, made president, he was on the video there, and he was explaining how this was happening. Mm-hmm. And it really touches me, you know, in my heart. And on top of that, it's going to all the communities, Fort Chip, Fort Mackay, Fort Smith, and then down the Slave River, going into the Great Slave Lake, and going right into the East Arm, which is my community on the East Arm. And it's affecting the fish already. We notice a change in the weather pattern. In the winter, where we travel on the ice, it's not safe anymore. We have to make major detours, and we see a lot of changes, like the leaves and the trees are dying, and there's a lot of changes that I've seen on the land, because I work specifically right on the land. You know, I live on the land. I drink the water. I hunt and fish. And it's starting to affect my way of living as First Nation. A few years ago, when my parents, my mom, and my brothers were all still alive, we always traveled together, you know, going hunting, seeing different parts of my territory. And it wasn't like that, you know, the trees and leaves and fish were still healthy. Years ago, when I was young, I used to track with dog teams, and we go hunting by dog team, hunt caribou for the winter, eh? And there was a lot of wildlife 30 years ago, 35 years ago. At that time, the only transportation we had in our community was dog teams. So it was hardly, there was no snowmobile, nothing. Travel means by winter is dog team. And that was fun in those days. And we used to hunt caribou. They come right down to our area. And we take what we need, and we don't shoot overkill caribou, just that for food. But we use fish as means of feeding the dogs. And when we go hunting, we have leftovers like scraps, like bones, and that we feed them to the dog, not the actual meat, because bones got a lot of vitamins and protein for the dogs, eh? And they love that too. Anyway, but mostly we feed the fish. In those days, there was many, many, many caribou, and the community was happy, was healthy, and you can see the people are strong and healthy, and they had clothing. They always had good moccasins and mitts and parkas, and people were healthy. Now, since the mining companies, oil companies, exploration has dwindled the herd, you know, they don't come down in our area as much as they used to. Maybe once every 3, maybe 4 years now, you know, it's the elders, the way they talk about it, and I just happen to be in that group, and when I was there and I had an opportunity to do the use of caribou meat. No, it's not like that. You know, even the fish now is not quite as healthy. Mm-hmm. We notice that in the fishes, you know, they got sores, deformed now, and big heads, small bodies, and that. And that's what's happening now. But the caribou, they won't come down my area as much anymore. And it's really heavy for my elders, you know, the way I could see it on their faces, that they're hurting, and they can't do very much, and it's affecting me too also, and it goes down the line, you know. Now we have to depend on the store-bought food, majority of it. So this one elder had told me a few years ago, maybe about 3 years ago, my bones are still on the land, you know, my bones, but my flesh, it has turned into a store-bought thing now. My skin is not healthy anymore. You know, my teeth and my hair, everything is dwindling. That's what you call a survivor. You have to weigh in two worlds now in order to make a living. You can't give up and die, you know. You know, you have to do something. And my bones are still with Mother Earth. You know, that's where my heart is. But yet I have to eat, you know. So we use caribou for many, many, many things. We use it for tools. We use it for clothing. We use it for making teepees, tents, and and various other clothing issues. No, we don't have that. If I have to, because the caribou don't come around very often, I have to buy a pair of rubber boots, you know, snow boots from the store now. And same with mitts, same with the jacket. It's not as warm as a caribou anymore. Pants, and ski pants, you know, I have to buy it from the store. And they're not as warm as caribou, you know. Same with moccasins. So it's been really tough on me as an elder now, going up, and even higher than me, my elders are. I see it, you know, all the time, every day. I see them walking. So I consult the elders a lot. I sympathize with them. They're my people, you know. Even though we still drink the water right out of the water where I come from, with a glass, you can dip it into the lake, and if you put the glass in the water towards the sun, you can't tell the difference. It's still a very fresh, clean, clear water yet. And I want to maintain that as long as I can. Well, in my generation, I don't know about the next generation, what's going to be happening. So before that, I want to relay and help as much info to the young people that are out, want to make a living out in the land, you know. And, you know, some are a lot of dropouts, not really at school. No, they want to go back to the land. And that's where we come in as supporters and the frontline workers, to help these young people, to give them a little push, you know, and then help them how to survive, how, what to do in these areas. I'm really fortunate that, you know, I've been taught this way, even though I was in residential school for many years and I got back into my traditional lifestyle. And it took me a long time to where I am to be at this point, because I had some really good teachers from the elders and the individuals that I've been out hunting and fishing with. Going to sweat lodges, going to on the land, making offerings every morning at 5 o'clock. Now my routine is every morning at 5 o'clock. I wake up. First thing I do is make an offering to the Creator. First thing, before I make any movement, I say my prayers and thank Him for the day, the night before, and the day to do the task, whatever I have to do today. So those are my routine now. I give my life to the Creator. You know, I'm not young anymore. I'm 63 now, and I can't go on the land as much as I used to, but I can use my teachings from other ones to help people now. That's all I do. And I travel to various places, like in Yellowknife, where from my community. I work at the school, talking to students about A&D, and I go to a youth facility, Young Offenders Act, and also adult correctional centers, and I help in that area too as much as I can. And also I work with Native Wounded Society, doing walks for them, volunteering, homeless people in Yellowknife as much as I can if I get a chance, out of my routine. But I'm starting to spend a lot of time on the land now, but when I'm in the city or other places, that's where I kind of help out in that area. The conference has really inspired me. I saw things that the way other present people, the present people that were there, the speakers, and I wish them well in their efforts to change the world, the attitude towards pollution, oil companies and that, and to really work together at the grassroots people, you know, talk to the communities amongst themselves. And major issues and oil companies to write letters to the MPs, you know that sort of thing, you know, to really work together. One of the things too is the tendency of the people nowadays that I see in the South. There's so many takers and there's no givers, you know. I see that. Maybe it's a result of maybe upbringing. I don't know. And I talk to young people a lot. You have to take and then give out. You know, you have to give something out in order to make you keep you strong and healthy, and to focus on your tasks every day. You know, to do these things in a good way, share love, kindness, and being compassion with your neighbor, your friends, students, elders, and also to the land too. You know, that's the main thing, you know, for me. You know. And I talk to people like that. Some people don't know how to approach me because they don't understand what I'm talking about. But I listen to them. You know, if they don't understand, I try to help them. You know, give them a glimpse of the other side of the world. There's better things to do, you know, besides alcohol and drugs and violence, finding a balance and all that stuff, you know. And I give all that I can. I'm just a man like everybody else, but I just got a little further than some people. And to do these good things for others. Maybe some people, they've taken it. I had calls from other places. They want to talk to me on certain issues. Okay, Henry? All right. I'll sit down and talk to you. I'll make time. Because he could be hurting, as far as I know, you know. You know, on the verge of doing damage to himself or other people, you know. So I make time, no matter where I am. And I've been reading newspapers and listening to television, radio, since I've been here. There's all the oil companies, like there's oil, major oil spills all over, right, in the world. You know, who is responsible for these? The oil companies, you know, the governments make secret deals with oil companies, you know, and they're undermining the people that live on the shores of Mother Earth, you know. And then they get into accidents, you know, they don't want to, some of them don't want to clean it up, and it takes years, you know, to get clean up. And I hope that my message will go across to people all over the world, you know, to start to look at themselves as an individual in order to help people the best way they can, in a loving, kindness, and compassionate way. That's my message. If you don't have that, you know, your message is not going to get across to most people. I know there's a lot of groups in the world that are trying to work on climate change, pollution, you know, all this stuff, you know. The green movement, you know, not the party itself, but I call it the green rainbow. That's what I call it, you know. And that really, if you send the right message out, you know, be calm, cool, and collective, not to be, you know, overwhelmed and, you know, and start, you know, throwing stones and getting mad. You're not going to get anywhere. You have to be calm, cool, collective, too, in order to get your message across. I just feel that in my heart that that things go well for other countries, you know, wherever my message is going to. Look at the situation carefully, you know, study it, and then go from there. Talk to your communities, like I said earlier, just to bring it in a good, make it a frontline issue. I want to get back to the way of taking and then giving out again. We tend nowadays just to take everything, take as much as we can. We stuff it here and there in our community, our houses, our property. We just stuff it. We never use it, half of it, you know, majority of the things that we buy and things, we never use it. And it causes a lot of unused things, like they're cutting down timbers and mining companies are going there for gold, coal, oil, everything. So the result, you know, I gotta have this, you know. But they're giving nothing back to Mother Earth. No nothing. No prayers, nothing. So I just feel that I want to say that in my closing, that one more time, just to love, kindness, and be compassionate to each other. Thank you very much.
Henry told me he liked the blues, so here's a song I hope he likes. was Memphis All-Stars with All-Star Shuffle. I think it is time and very important that environmental organizations start supporting the knowledge that elders have to share about the land and the animals as truth and fact. No one knows the land like those who have lived on it for thousands of years. No scientist can hope to have that kind of understanding. I also very much liked what Henry had to say about giving back to the land. It's time we start giving back to the land, to have love and compassion for the land, and then maybe it will start healing again. Taking us out is Remember Me Feral and Ninth Black Moon with Aesthesis.